Palm Sunday, beginning of the Holy Week. Reading for the procession, Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. First reading from Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 to 7. Second reading, the letter from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. And the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 26, verse 14 to chapter 7, verse 66. Sharing of the reading. The theme, How Christ Endures Suffering. St. Thomas Aquinas answered the question, whether fortitude is a virtue as follows. Wherefore, it belongs to human virtue to make man good, to make his work accord with reason. This happens in three ways. First, by rectifying reason itself, and this is done by the intellectual virtues. Secondly, by establishing the rectitude of reason in human affairs, and this belongs to justice. Thirdly, by removing the obstacle to the establishment of this rectitude in human affairs. Now the human will is hindered in two ways from following the rectitude of reason. First, through being drawn by some subject of pleasure to something other than what the rectitude of reason requires. And this obstacle is removed by the virtue of temperance. Secondly, through the will being disinclined to follow that which is accordant with reason, on account of some difficulty that presents itself. In order to remove the obstacle, fortitude of the mind is requisite, whereby to resist the aforesaid difficulty even as a man, by fortitude of body, overcome and remove bodily obstacle. See Summa Theologiae 2nd and 2nd, Question 123, Article 1. Applying the St. Thomas explanation in Christ's suffering, we will see the logic of his suffering. First, Christ knows the good he shall get from his suffering, that is, the salvation for all human souls. Secondly, he established the rectitude of reason in human affairs, that is, by his suffering, he takes away all their sins so they don't have to suffer God's judgment. He established justice between God and people. In order to achieve this purpose, Jesus did two things. First, he paid attention only to his mission, which is to convince people to believe in him to attain salvation. And secondly, he must overcome all obstacles during his passion and death. We can see the process in all the reading of the Passion Sunday. In the first reading, the Isaiah 3rd song, the suffering servant didn't yield when he is persecuted, because he knows that he shall not be confounded or put to shame. He was chained to face hardship. In the second reading, only in 5 short verses, the author of the letter to the Philippians described the whole mission of Jesus when he entered the world. Though he is God, he emptied himself and put on the human form so he can suffer for people. By his suffering and death, God had highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. In the Matthew Gospel, The author reported in detail Christ's passion, death, and resurrection. Analyze it. The first reading. The third song of God's suffering servant. Third point. The suffering servant endures suffering because he trusted in God. Other human beings, everybody afraid of suffering. The reason why one wants to suffer, because he firmly believes in the result he shall get after suffering. For example, a medal for an athlete. The suffering servant wanted to suffer because he believed in God and shall liberate God's people from their sin. He confessed his faith in God. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. The Lord God is my help. Therefore, I am not betrayed. I have set my face like flint. Know that I shall not be put to shame. Second point. The suffering servant knew how to support those in suffering. An athlete received not only the medal after the competition, but also other rewards such as a healthy body, a strong will, etc. The suffering servant received not only prayer by the Father, but also compassion to support those in suffering. He stated, "The Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue that I might know how to speak to the weary a word that will rouse them. Morning after morning, he opened my ear that I may hear, and I have not rebelled, have not turned back." The second reading, Jesus must go through suffering to achieve glory. Third point, Christ humbly suffered. St. Paul used Christ's example of suffering to teach the Philippians. Have among yourselves the same attitude that is also there in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped at. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance. He humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus himself is God, but he humbled himself to put on a human body. The great can understand this action. Why they were trying to escape their human body? Because they considered them as a prison to confine their soul. Jesus wanted to incarnate in a body to become like man. Moreover, Jesus had absolute power to wipe out all suffering. But he volunteered to go to the way of his Father, to die on the cross to redeem people. Second point, God greatly exalted Christ. Sin known it humble, obedient, and suffered like Christ, as a result, none have such a glory like him. St. Paul described this glory as follows. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus also taught his disciples the way to be ready. The king of the Gentiles exercised lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. Saint Paul also encouraged his faithful that, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. The Gospel, right passion and death according to Saint Matthew. Since the passion is long, those who want to read the commentary can follow the commentary on Mark's passion in year B, because Matthew closely followed Mark's passion. There are only two differences which were on Judas Iscariot. We shall comment in detail the two differences in Judas' betrayal. In addition, we shall pay a special attention to Jesus' acts when he faked his passion and the reaction of four kinds of people which are represented by Simon Peter, Judas Iscariot, Pilate, and the Sanhedrin. First, Jesus' attitudes. Four attitudes we learn from Christ in his passion. First, he was very courageous and ready to accept suffering because he knew suffering is only temporal and the way to reach glory. Before entering his passion, Jesus knew suffering lasted only 3 days. From Thursday to Saturday of the Holy Week. After that, it the glorious resurrection that he forewarned his disciples. It is his firm faith in his Father that helped him to overcome all suffering to the glorious victory. We can illustrate his confidence with the event that happened before his passion. During the Passover meal, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me." Jesus could point out Judas is the betrayer, and he shall not escape the disciples' hands, and Jesus shall escape his plan. But Jesus didn't accuse Judas because he wanted to give him a chance to repent. But Judas chose to be indifferent with Jesus' warning. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born. After the meal, Jesus sang the hymn with his disciples to thank God why providence, though he is going to confront worldly powers. This showed that Jesus completely believed in God's plan without fear or sadness. Second, he always obeyed his Father's will. There are two events that show his obedience and willing to do his Father's will. First, Jesus prayed in the Gethsemane Garden. He said to his disciple, "Sit here while I go yonder and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. He said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." During the hour before the passion, Jesus wanted to have the support from the Father and his disciples, but he got known from both sides. The Father seemed to hide from him. The disciples, though they were there, but offer no help. Running back and forth, Jesus felt all forsook him. However, he was still courageous and brave. My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Jesus, in his human nature, feared what are going to happen, so he prayed his Father to take away the cup, because he knew God can do all things. However, he is ready to do God's will more than his will. After the third prayer, he came back to his disciples and told him, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Right, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Next, is Jesus' dying moment on the cross. Matthew reported this moment as followed. "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?' That is, 'My God, why hast thou forsaken me?' And some of the bystanders hearing it said, 'This man is calling Elijah.' And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with the vinegar, and put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, 'Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him.' And Jesus cried again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rock was split. The tombs were also opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Those standing nearby heard only the first two words, 'Heli, Heli.' They thought Jesus is calling the prophet Elijah. The event of the curtain, which was split in half, is commented by the author of the letter to the Hebrews as follows: 'Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way which he opened for us through the curtain, that is to his flesh.'" From this moment, people no longer need to wait for the day of atonement so that the high priest can enter the Holy of the Holy to ask God to forgive their sin, but they can come directly to God to ask for his forgiveness. This event also foretold the Jerusalem destruction in 70 AD. People no longer have to go to the temple to offer sacrifices for their sin. Third point. Jesus was always truthful when facing sufferings and betrayals. First, Jesus treated Judas very nicely. He knew Judas is the betrayer, but didn't revile him or make known his betrayal with other disciples. If they know, Judas shall not be in one piece. But Jesus must let Judas know with hope that Judas shall repent by his gentle treatment. Jesus wanted us to differentiate between two things. According to God's plan of salvation, Jesus must die. However, people have the freedom to cooperate or to destroy God's plan. If Judas Iscariot wasn't betrayed, there is still other betrayer. Moreover, Judas can repent after his betrayal. Unfortunately, he chose not to repent. Secondly, Jesus was not afraid to speak the truth, though he knew it can lead to his death. For example, when Pilate asked him, "Are you a king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." But when he was accused by the chief priest, the elder, he made no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor wondered greatly. Jesus' answer isn't completely positive at exactly, "But you have said so." Jesus wanted to tell Pilate that he isn't a political king as accused by the Jews, but only as the religious king. In John's account, Jesus was more clearly, "My kingship is not of this world. If my kingship were of this world, my servant would fight, that I might not be handed over to the Jews. But my kingship is not from the world." He didn't answer the high priest and the Jews, because if he answered them, there is no good for them. The fourth point, Jesus always loved and forgave. Though faced with the coming passion, Jesus still remembered his disciples and the future generation. That is the reason why he established the sacrament of the Eucharist, to remain and to nourish people's soul. Jesus established the sacrament of the Eucharist, the new Passover. During the meal, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I shall not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When people celebrate the sacrament of the Eucharist, they are reminded to think about the future when they shall drink the new wine with Christ in God's kingdom. In the background of the old Passover, Jesus wanted his disciples to understand what are going to happen in the new Passover. Like the loaf of bread is divided for many people to eat, Jesus' body is also broken for his disciples and many people. Like the thanksgiving cup, Jesus' blood is poured out for many people so they will receive their salvation. The old covenant with God was established in the covenant on Mount Sinai. According to the covenant, God shall protect and bless the Israelites as his own people, while the Israelites must carefully keep the Ten Commandments. Since the Israelites violated this covenant by not keeping the Ten Commandments, Jesus must establish the new covenant. According to this covenant, Jesus' blood must be poured out to redeem people. People are no longer dependent on the law to receive God's blessing and protection, but I completely depend on His love. Based on Jesus' blood, which is going to be poured out for them. When Jesus saying the word, Jesus confirmed the two things. First, He knew He is going to die, but also knew God's kingdom is coming. He knew He must carry the cross, but the glory shall be His after all. Secondly, God's love and His love for people shall overcome all of their sin. Though He knew all the apostles shall betray, Jesus is ready to forgive, to reconcile, and to provide hope for them when He said, "You will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Second point, the betrayal of Simon Peter and other apostles. When Jesus for one among them shall betray Him, they were all very sorrowful and began to say to Him one after another, "It is I, Lord." The apostle didn't know who is the betrayer in Matthew's account. They might know their weakness, so they took turn to ask Jesus that question. Jesus foreknew and prepared everything He can for them to understand what are going to happen, such as teaching, chain field ring, forewarning. But what shall happen must happen. They shall run away from Him. However He believed, they shall recognize the truth and completely believe in Him after His passion, death, and resurrection. Peter didn't know his weakness, so he said to Jesus, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." But Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, this very night, before the cock crow, you will deny me three times." Jesus said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples, "Only God knows for certain that what shall happen to people. They don't know surely what shall happen to them. Therefore, people must believe in what God said more than what people or they themselves said." The one who drew the sword and cut off the right ear of the high priest's servant is Peter, as said in John's account. This reaction is proper with Peter's temperament. He is the only one who have courage to protect his master. At this moment, things happen exactly as Jesus illustrated. "I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." When the sower sees and tie up Jesus, all his disciples ran away from him. They fear that they shall be persecuted with him. Peter was also going through the investigation at the same time with Jesus. Why Jesus was investigated officially in the palace, Peter was investigated unofficially in the garden. Matthew reported Peter denied of Jesus three times as follows. The first time, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a maid came up to him and said, "You also work with Jesus the Galilean." Peter denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you mean." The second time, when he went out to the porch, Another maid saw him, and she said to the bystander, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." The last time, while the bystander came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you are also one of them, for your action betrays you." Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the cock crowed, and Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the cock crow, you will deny me 3 times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Though Peter denied Jesus 3 times, he is still more courageous than other apostles because they didn't follow Jesus to the high priest palace. Different with Judas Iscariot, Jesus recognized his betrayal, and his truly repentant helped him to begin the process of reconciliation and of witness for Jesus. Peter shall become the witness for Jesus' resurrection before the Sanhedrin. Third point, the selfishness and betrayal of Judas Iscariot. Before Jesus passed over meal with his apostle, Judas went out to meet the high priest and said to them, "What will you give me if I deliver him to you?" And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he sought an opportunity to betray him. Most of Jesus' apostles are the Galileans. Only Judas belonged to the village of Iscariot in Judea. All the gospel didn't mention Jesus' calling of Judas. Most of the places in the gospel where Judas is mentioned, there is another title that follows his name, Sadat, the betrayer, the one who sold Jesus, or the one who handed Jesus over. The price which the high priest paid Judas is very cheap. It is the price of a cheap slave. To understand how cheap it is, we can compare with the present currency. A dollar is equivalent with 4 shekels. 30 shekels is about $8. However, we must compare with the currency at that time. A denarius of that time is equivalent with a day of labor. So 30 denarii is the money salary for a working person. We can't understand why Judas sold Jesus with such a cheap price. The pound of costly ointment of pure lard which Mary poured on Jesus' head and feet cost 300 denarii. There are many events in the Old Testament which imply Judas' selling of Jesus. The most near to Jesus' time is in Zechariah 11, verses 11 to 13, then Jeremiah 32, verses 6 to 15, etc. And the farthest is the selling of Joseph by his brother for 20 silver pieces in Genesis 37, verse 28. The scholar tried to find out the reason why Judas decided to sell Jesus. There are 2 different opinions. First, according to the 4 Gospels, and many scholars, Judas sold Jesus due to his greed of money. Secondly, some said since Judas knew Jesus had great power, the selling is the call that forces Jesus to yield the Messiah power to destroy his enemy. Later, when Judas saw his reasoning isn't correct, he returned the money back to the high priest. When they refused to receive the money, Judas threw it in the temple. The first opinion is more correct because it has a scripture basis and is proper with Judas' attitude and his title as a bursar. There was a strange phenomenon in Matthew's Gospel. While other disciples called Jesus as the Lord, Judas called Jesus as Rabbi twice. The latter is very foreign, used only for the Pharisee and the scribe. Jesus forbade his disciples, "Do not let anyone call them Rabbi." Judah knew well the place where Jesus used to pray. To differentiate between Jesus and his disciple, Judah had given soldiers a sign saying, "The one I shall kiss is the man. See him." He came up to Jesus at once and said, "Hail, Master," and he kissed him. They seized him at once. People used to kiss to show their love for others. The Jews have the habit of kissing their master. But Judah used his kiss to betray his master. He might think that he could bluff Jesus. In Luke's account, Jesus let Judah know his betrayal when he said, "Judah, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" Judah went out and killed himself. Matthew reported, when Judah, his betrayer, saw that he was condemned, he repented and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and the elder, saying, "I have sinned in betraying innocent blood." They said, "What is that to us? See to it yourself." And throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed. And he went and hanged himself. But the chief priest, taking the pieces of silver, said, "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since they are blood money." So they took counsel and brought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then will fulfill what has been spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him on whom a price had been set by some of the sons of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me." There are three differences between Matthew's account and the Acts chapter 1, verses 18 to 19. First, the way Judah killed himself, hanging in Matthew and falling with his gut out in the Act. Secondly, the high priest used the money to buy a field. Lastly, the blood money is Jesus' blood in Matthew, while it is Judah's blood in the Act. Though Judah only denied Jesus one time, after that, he regretted and returned the money to the high priest. But the difference between two apostles is that Judah didn't believe in God's mercy. So he went out and killed himself. The fourth point, the dishonesty of the Sanhedrin. When the high priest and the entire Sanhedrin tried to find a reason to condemn Jesus to death, they couldn't find it because though they have many wrong accusations, but they couldn't match with others. Some of these are listed by Matthew. The sin of planning to destroy the temple. Someone accused Jesus. This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. This is a wrong accusation because Jesus said, destroy the temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. Not I shall destroy. Moreover, Jesus didn't imply the Jerusalem temple, but his own body. The blasphemy sin and the high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, you have said so, but I tell you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the cloud of heaven. Then the high priest tore his robe and said, he had uttered a blasphemy. Why do we need other witnesses? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your judgment? They answered, he deserved death. This high priest seriously violated the law when he asked Jesus this question, because the law doesn't permit the inquisitor to ask the accused the question, which by answering the question, the accused is condemned. The high priest believed that Jesus shall answer when he asked him about the relationship between him and God, because Jesus can't lie. Jesus wasn't hesitated to answer that he is the Messiah, partly because it is the truth, partly because he wanted to end the Sanhedrin dirty game. By his answer, he wanted to let them know that he had courage to speak the truth to the saying the truth. It can lead him to death. If he weren't saying that, they shall have no reason to condemn him. Moreover, he wanted to let them see that all things they shall do to him are just temporal. They will see his glorious victory after his passion. The initial investigation before the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin were considered the highest court of the Jews. It had 71 people who are the high priest, the elder, and the scribe. The Sanhedrin had power only over the problems that related to the Jew religion. They cannot kill people. The Sanhedrin must organize their meeting at the hillstone in the area of the temple. The Sanhedrin broke many laws when they judged Jesus in that night. The law doesn't permit them to judge people in the night, the lit day, the fifth day, and the wrong place. All witnesses must be investigated at different places, and their witnesses must be corrected in single detail. Each member of the Sanhedrin must give their own judgment, beginning with the Zangat. If it is the death sentence, it needs a past night before the sentence is executed. Its purpose is for all the members to have an opportunity to carefully think if there exists a lighter sentence than death sentence. In short, since they wanted to eliminate Jesus right away, they judged and condemned Jesus illegally. The burial of Jesus. The high priest and the Pharisees seriously violated the Sabbath law when they left their house and entered the Gentile place. Matthew reported the violation as follows. next day, that is the day of preparation. The chief priest and the Pharisee gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said, while he was still alive, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.' Therefore, order the sepulcher to make secure until the third day. Let his disciple go and seal him and tell the people he had risen from the dead. And the last thought will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can." So they went and made the sepulcher secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. Matthew wanted to show God's power. Jesus resurrected and got out of the tomb. Even the guard didn't know it. A fifth point. The effeminacy and cowardice of Pilate. At the morning break, the high priest organized a meeting with the elder and the scribe in the Sanhedrin. Then they let Jesus out and handed him over to Pilate. Acceptable, the Sanhedrin only have power over the religious problem and can execute the death sentence. Therefore, after they found the religious reason to condemn Jesus as blasphemy, now they must find a political reason for Pilate to kill Jesus. Because they knew Pilate was not concerned with the different opinion about their religion as reported in Luke's account, they found the political reason for Pilate to sentence Jesus to death. That is, Jesus proclaimed himself as King of the Jews. When he proclaimed it, he again Roman power and Emperor Caesar. So Pilate, the governor, asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." But when he was accused by the chief priest and elder, he made no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor wondered greatly. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much over him today in a dream." Pilate tried to find a reason to release Jesus. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd anyone prisoner whom they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Jesus Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy they had delivered him up, but they wanted him to release Barabbas, a murderer. They asked Pilate to crucify Jesus. Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus who he called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why, what evil had he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and wiped his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it for yourself." And all the people answered, "His blood shall be on us and on our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, deliver him to be crucified. Safe point. The centurion proclaimed Jesus is the Son of God. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Application in life. We should learn right way of acting, which is full of wisdom, courage, and love in his last hour on earth to achieve his purpose, that is, to attain salvation for all people. We must also know that our mission in this world is to attain the salvation for ourselves and for those who God sent to our life. In order to achieve the purpose, we must also go to suffering. We must know all suffering are only temporal and can be compared with the glory which God prepared for us through Christ's suffering. Amen.